You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Comic Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. I'll have another draft story later in the week, so look for that on ESPN.com. A couple programming notes. One, Bram Weinstein and I, the voice of the Commanders, will be doing a live stream show Thursday night, 7:30 Eastern time. It's kind of a draft preview show, right? Because the draft will be a week away at that point. So we're going to do that Thursday night, a live stream show, 7:30 Eastern time. Look for the links. Join us there. Bring your questions. And Bram and I will try to answer whatever we can and have fun with it. Also, if you want to become a club member of the show, go to the Empire Media YouTube page. You see the word join. Click on that and see what membership floats your boat. So anyway, thanks to everybody who has joined it so far. Also, a couple of things. Matt Bowen will be joining the show. That should be, I believe, that one's going to run Wednesday. Look for that. Matt was great. Already talked to him. But today, I'm going to be talking to Clyde Christensen, who knows Drake May very well. He was an offensive analyst at UNC, North Carolina, last year. And so he, of course, got to see May up close and personal. And that's also his alma mater, so he's very familiar with Drake. So wanted to bring him on because for all the assumptions out there, still don't know. I don't know, and you for sure do not know. So that's why we have to keep bringing people on to talk about the other possibilities other than Jaden Daniels, because while signs and everything may point to one guy, and while there's an assumption with that, it is not a done deal. Listen, Washington is still doing its due diligence. Therefore, I'm going to bring on people to talk about each of these quarterbacks. I brought on Herm Edwards to talk about Jaden. Now today it's Clyde Christensen to talk about Drake May. And I'm going to have someone to talk about J.J. McCarthy later, and among other things, because this guy is a guy who knows J.J., but also can talk about other stuff. So hopefully that interview takes place. It's supposed to. So that will be later. Anyways, with Clyde, listen, the guy was an OC in Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Miami. He was a quarterback's coach for Tampa Bay with Tom Brady there. He worked with Peyton Manning. He worked with Andrew Luck. He's worked with high-level guys, man. So that's why I wanted to bring him on and talk about Drake, because he knows what does an NFL quarterback look like. Now, I didn't ask him about the other quarterbacks because it doesn't matter. I just wanted to bring you information for you Drake May people. Here's the guy that you want to get to know and or just listen to. And if you're not a Drake May guy, listen to him anyways, because the whole purpose of this is to learn. One thing I can tell you, all you people who've made up your minds, 3 months ago, that's not how you do it. So you go through this process, and that's why I'm going to bring you as much information as possible on all these guys. And that's fine if you have a favorite. But I can tell you there's something that appeals about each of these guys to the Commanders in a big way. So that's why I think this week is very important with all these top 30 visits. So in a minute, I'll get to that, but a couple little nuggets, and one is a significant hire today. But real quick, like I said, this is a big week for the top 30 visits. As I record this, Jaden Daniels is arriving into town. He will be at the facility. He may already be here, but he'll be at the facility for the actual visit on Tuesday. And then Drake May and J.J. McCarthy come into town Tuesday night and will be out there on Wednesday. Now, they're not going to be sitting in their meetings together. You can stagger things and you can, schedule different meetings at different times. But it's the last day that they can have these visits. And so things get a little bit crammed up. So those are the key ones. I know a whole slew of guys will be coming in here over the next couple of days. And I do believe they're planning an outing with these guys for one of the nights, and sounds like a fun one. And, I'll have more on that later, but I think it sounds like it's something unique for these visits, but I think there's some reasoning behind it. And I'll get into that more of that later after they happen. So anyway, that's one thing. But today, the significant move on Monday, it's a subtle, but another key move and a key hire by this organization. That's to hire Dave Gardy as the senior VP of football initiative. So what does that mean? And what is he going to be doing? I'm going to read you some of his bio because I don't want to get this wrong. So he joined the league. He was in the league office for 21 years, was a senior VP of football operations for 10 years. Prior to that, he served as the league's VP of labor relations and football administration. And so like those are key things. So in Washington, I'm going to read you again what he's supposed to be doing. I kind of explain a couple of things. Going to handle a number of in-game management duties, support the coaching staff and front office on compliance with league protocols, officiating trends, and health and safety guidelines. He will be on the headset during games with the coaches. So, and he's going to help with, like, for example, the rules. One thing to know, like, Washington was one of the more penalized teams when it came to compliance with league protocols, et cetera. And that could range from everything from, security guidelines or electronic devices on the sidelines, little things like that. So, again, in compliance with security. So there are a lot of little things that they had an issue with. But I don't think that this organization was all that interested in caring about it. And because it requires another investment, that's not on the coaches from the past, that's on the owner. And this owner is looking for multiple ways to provide an advantage for the organization or for the players, because you may have a salary cap on the players, but you don't have it on spending for the organization. That's why they've hired someone who's a health and wellness guy. You know, one of the other significant moves I felt like in the offseason was hiring Lance Newmark to come in and be an assistant GM. I think he has a really good reputation, but he also is a guy I think just is a decisive voice, another respected voice in there. And I think it adds some but it's just another good hire. And I think this one falls in line with that. He's a respected guy. And Philadelphia is the only other team, I believe, that has somebody in this role. If the Eagles are doing it, it works, because that's an organization that looks for every advantage possible. And it's funny because I was talking to somebody up there and they called this a very smart hire, and just how like the guy that they have in their role for that is a huge, huge help. So it could be during in-game stuff, it'll be little things like, you know, the challenges or timeouts, helping them handle timeouts. So which is another key thing for every coach. It's something that very few coaches are good at managing the clock. And even in this case, I'm sure there are going to be some screw-ups. Very, very, very few coaches, even like Belichick, you'd see him mess up that at times too. So to have somebody in there that can, I've never understood why more teams didn't have somebody there on the headset to help with the timeout situation, because I think it's something that's important because you can help yourself by managing the clock properly. So it's going to be that, and then replays and maybe some other things. But again, you know, I think it's just something, it's a little move. It's in terms of the organization as a whole, it's not this like big flashy, grabbing the headline type move. But it's a very subtle, and maybe not so subtle, but a very big move, I think, because of what I think he could help, how he could help and just take off. Like one thing with Dan Quinn is he's just here to coach, and he doesn't have to worry about. And one of the things, and you know, when I did the Inside the Dan Quinn Hire story, and you know, I know Albert Breer wrote a story, but I wrote about the Laura Oakman aspect to it, right? And just how she helped him with that 360 review. And among the things he really kind of focused on was delegating some more. And I think here he doesn't have to worry about personnel. He's got Adam Peters. He doesn't have to worry about things like this. You know, I think it just takes some of the pressure off where listen, you can say whatever you want about Rivera or anybody else in the past. It's just different. So I think they've set this up better for a head coach to have success. That's key. And I don't know that you could say that about this organization for 24 years or so. Anyway, I think it's a good move for Washington, and there you go. Anyway, that's it for me. Let's get to my conversation with Clyde Christensen, the offensive analyst at the University of North Carolina, talking about Drake May.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground? Give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kime. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kime. Clyde, you have a lot of NFL experience, and you've coached Drake May. What, you know, there's been a lot of talk about him, obviously, through the pre-draft process. How do you view him as a prospect for the NFL?
Drake's special. One thing is I really don't coach him because I kind of am in a consult type of role here, and you're not allowed to. So don't get us in trouble. But
right, okay, yeah, yes.
I've been around him a bunch, and certainly have helped him a bunch. Tried to help a little bit in this off season, and I think he's special. I think he's a special kid, and starting with his makeup, just that he's from a great family. He's got four boys. He's a humble, extremely bright guy. He has a lot of the same characteristics that a lot of the really good, successful, long-term players I've been around have, you know, that he's smart. He gets it. He's aware. His teammates play hard for him, have a love for him. And which I think are all great starts. And then he's a 6'4" kid who's extremely athletic, and he's been a 2-year starter and made a bunch of big plays, and two different coordinators, two different systems in 2 years. But I think it's going to be an arrow up, and he's going to keep getting better because he's hungry. He wants to be a great player, and he's got an awful lot of tools to work with, and his makeup gives him a chance to handle the NFL schedule and whatever the NFL throws at him.
I know he comes from a family. There's some athletes in that family. Do you see when that's the case, it's probably a highly competitive family. So how do you see that with him? Like where do you see that kind of trait with him?
You know what? I love that. They kind of almost have their own little team. They got the four boys and the dad, and they compete at everything. So I think one of the traits you like is that, you know, that he kind of grew up in a team atmosphere. I've golfed with him. I've watched him throw. He brings a couple of his brothers out to catch balls for him at some of the workouts, and he's coaching them up. But they have a great fondness for each other. They get along well, but they compete like crazy. I think they want to win everything, and whatever you do, they enjoy winning. So I think that probably his competitive streak shows up through that. That would be one thing that just jumps out at you. And his ability to quote unquote play well with others, I think, jumps out at me just with his family and just the history. You know, he's the youngest, and he's second to the youngest. He's just watched his brothers and he's seen it all. He's seen some high highs and low lows and some disappointments. And I think that bodes well for you in the NFL, knowing that you're going to touch all the bases before it's all said and done. There's going to be some adversity. There's going to be some awful, awful great moments. But to do it for a decade or decade and a half. You know, you just have to be have a resilience and a an endurance to you that that I think he has, and I think that that's going to serve him extremely well. There won't be a big ups and downs. It'll be a just kind of a steady progression and improvement, I think, throughout his whole pro career.
How do you see that? Like, where did you see the competitiveness the most? If there, were there times, I've got older brothers too, like anybody who's got that, you're going to see some things. What are some things that you saw that like, okay, that's nuts?
Yeah. Like he'll throw a ball to one of his, you know, one of his brothers who's a basketball player, and, you know, and the brother will say it was a bad throw, and he'll say he dropped it and should have caught it. And, you know, they'll start arguing, and, you know, and then his dad will tell him he's dropping his elbow, and he'll say, no, I wasn't. And, you know, they'll start competing. So I think it's been everywhere you're around all of them. They have some, it's a fun competitiveness, but they you know, they compete. The golf course, you know, we've been out on the golf course, and, you know, he's going to take me. I'm 100 years old. He's going to take me back to the tips and try and get an advantage that way. They give you no putts. I mean, you're putting everything out, really? And you know, so it's going to show up there. You know, he's going to make his brothers putt a 6-incher. You know, if it's for the hole, they're going to have to putt everything out, and he's going to be dropping his putter and dropping something and trying to distract them. So it is all in fun, but I do think that they're, you know, the really, really good players I've been around kind of come from good families. Like, I don't know, you know, that, you know, even, you know, Peyton and just a terrific family. And Tom has a terrific family and sisters and a mom and a dad that are terrific. And Andrew Luck was the same way, just a terrific family. So the guys I've been around just have tended to come from great families, from Sean King, Hasselbeck, Brad Johnson, had his mom at practice. We have Brad's sons here now, you know, so it's fun. And I coached him there at Tampa Bay, and remember meeting his mom and just going, wow, you know, that no accident he turned out the way he turned out. He, you know, he just has a great mom. And, you know, so I do think that's no small thing. I don't think it's exclusive. It's not a make or break. It has to be, but I do think it's not by any coincidence. You've been raised right. And then you know, you have to go lead a team. You got to lead a bunch of, it's a unique position. You lead all colors, all backgrounds, all attitudes, you know, some selfish guys, some unselfish guys, some rich guys, some poor guys, some, you know, some hungry guys, some complacent guys, you know, and you have to get them all somehow down the field and into the end zone. And so I do think that there is a carryover there.
What kind of leadership style is he?
He would be, it would be similar to Tom, that I think he would have a leadership style of caring, you know, that they know he cares for him. He's one of the guys, you know, he's going to make his point, but he's not going to degrade or put anyone down, but he is going to make his point. You know, he's going to make his point, and hey, we have to do this better. Hey, we have to get our depth on that route. Hey, you know, but he's also going to take responsibility. Hey, I missed you. You know, he's going to take more than his share. And I think some of the best ones do that, you know, hey, I've got to get that ball to you. And I think they take their responsibility. So his leadership style would be, I think, one of caring for his teammates and being one of the team. And, you know, the quarterback position sometimes can be kind of a elevated position. And he's not that. He's going to be one of the guys. They're going to play hard. I remember when we picked up Tom in Tampa Bay, and I called as many people as I knew played for him, and every person I knew who played for him, and you couldn't find one person who didn't say he was the best teammate they'd ever had, you know? So I think that's a great trait to have. And I think probably you'd find the same thing if you started dialing up his Tar Heel teammates, you know, that there you'd have a hard time finding someone who didn't think the world of him.
How, you know, obviously Sam Howell went there and he was here. How do those, I know they're different quarterbacks, but how would you compare the two?
Yeah, I think they're best of friends. I don't know Sam quite as well. I wasn't around him at practice and some of those things, but they describe him similar. You know, I think that they're both highly competitive, and, you know, I think Sam was extremely popular here. I haven't seen him play that much. I've been around him. I've worked him out a little bit. He's worked out with Drake a little bit and seen him that way. And, you know, so I know him just, haven't been an alum from here and stuff, but I don't know him near as well to compare their football.
who would you, that you've been, as you said, you've been around Brady, Peyton, you know, Andrew Luck. So how would you, who do you, who would you, how do you compare, or who would you compare?
You know what? He reminds me the one guy I got when they were extremely young was Andrew Luck, you know, that we drafted him and with the first pick. So kind of similar circumstances. And he reminds me a lot of Andrew. He's very, very athletic. He can run. He's deceivingly fast. And Andrew was off the charts processor of information. He picked it up extremely quickly, and he had a humility to him, I think, that made people want to play for him. And I think this guy reminds me a lot of Andrew that way. He's not quite as sturdy built. He's a little more linear built, but he's a tough guy. And like Andrew, I think he's going to have to learn how to protect himself, which was probably the hardest thing. The hardest teacher, the hardest to learn for Andrew, you know, was just when you give up on a play, when, you know, it's hard for these guys to give up on plays. And I think Drake will have a little bit of a struggle and hopefully learns it sooner than later. But they don't mess around in that league with quarterbacks. They like to obliterate you. So you have to help protect yourself along with the other 10 guys. So that'll be, I think, the biggest learn for him is just taking care of himself and protecting himself, because he is a good athlete. He is going to run for some yards. He is going to convert some third downs, you know, with his legs and stuff. He's going to make some big plays out of the pocket. So that'll be one thing. But I'd probably compare him to Andrew, just same kind of, you know, I would describe Andrew and, you know, probably him as, you know, they try and come across as kind of an aw shucks guy, you know, but they're bright as all get out and they know exactly what's going on. But then I think humility coming through, and they don't want to seem smarter, better, bigger than anybody else on the team. In fact, they want to shrink in size as far as the team goes.
So when I talk to a few people in the league, what they're going to say is like, oh, you know, Drake's got to go somewhere he can sit for a little bit. Now, they don't define little bit. It could mean 6 games, 8 games, whatever. Do you agree with that? Would it be better for him to go somewhere to do that? Or do you look at him like he can go right in and start?
No, I think probably you could say that, you know, that's probably a blanket statement for all college kids. You know, it'd be the ideal thing would be to, you know, sit behind Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers and just watch and see how it's done, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also an element to playing that you need the experience. It's hard to learn if you're not playing, you know, it's hard to get it. And, you know, Peyton always would push that, you know, just that you got to play, you got to get play, you got to get snaps under your belt. So I think sooner's better. You know, sometimes that's a curse for a high draft pick because you tend to go to teams that have a bunch of needs and aren't great. And it's a hard position to play when you don't have the supporting cast and the whole city thinks you're going to, you know, save the city. And it just doesn't happen quite as quick or as easily as people think it does. So I don't think that. I've heard a lot of talk, you know, that, you know, it's not the Pollard, you know, I'm not sure I agree with the pundits, so to speak. And some people love him, you know, which I would be in that category, that this guy's, you know, the college offenses are different. Everything's about tempo. Everything's about, hey, let's get 90 plays. In that 90 plays, there's going to be some good ones, you know, and we're going to live with some bad ones. So it's not going to be as structured. I don't think you see these college quarterbacks just sitting in the pocket and looking pro style. You know, there's very few of them that have been raised that way through the college years. So it's a learn that way, but I also think it has been a little bit unfair, you know, unfair with Drake saying, well, you know, he doesn't set his feet and da da da. You know, I think some of that's been our fault just protection wise. I think some of it's been our fault just, you know, two different coordinators in 2 years and he's only played 2 years. So this guy's going to learn it. This guy's going to get it. You're going to teach him this stuff once and he's going to learn it. And he's not going to have any problem with that. And I disagree with anybody who didn't think this guy isn't one of the, you know, top picks in the draft, if not the top pick.
And I was going to ask you about that too. You bring up the footwork, because I think at the pro day, I think, you know, the OC there was saying that, hey, you know, that they, because brought in a different system or a new system, that he was kind of trying to marry it up a little bit. How would you assess that?
I would say, I would probably agree with that. I would be put it in kind of my last statement that I did that for a lot of years, tried to evaluate these college kids and coming in and you're not sure what they've been taught. You don't know, how well they've been taught. You don't know what they've been taught. And so you really, I didn't put a ton of weight on that. I put more weight on, you know, are they trying to do what the coach asked them to do, you know, as best you could figure out? Do they seem to be a compliant and want to learn person, or do they already have all the answers? That would be a red flag for me, that they already think they know it all, you know. Right. And you know, but a Drake May and Andrew, like a humble kid coming in, hey, you coach, you tell me what you want done, and I'll do it, and any which way you want to do it. That's why I think his football, I think his arrow's going up, and I think his best football is still way ahead of him. I think it's ahead of him.
Because the other along those, and I don't want to just harp on negative, but I want to get your opinion on what people say, and you hear the term missed layups. You hear that too with him.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
There may have been a missed layup or two, but this kid's going to hit open guys. There might be a missed layup or two, but there's been an awful lot of half court game winners too. So he's going to make his layups. He's going to make his layups, and it's going to get tightened up a little bit. And doing it for a living is another thing. You do it for a living, and all of a sudden you're doing it all day long. You're not in class, and you're not doing this or that around the campus. And I think, you know, he's not going to, this kid's not going to have trouble with layups. This guy's going to make his layups. And I don't have any doubt about that.
What's the things that's as a quarterback on the field, like some of the traits that you saw, like they're, you know, you watch him in the pocket, like his pocket mobility seems pretty good, and he's able to reset and get some balls over the middle like that. What are some of the, were there some plays that really stood out to you that you saw him make, like, okay, that's a big time Sunday play?
Yeah, I think, you know, you watch the Duke game, which was a huge game, and they were pretty darn good on defense, and gosh, it, you know, it ended up going overtime. It was just kind of a score fest, and both offenses were moving the ball pretty well, and he just kept converting fourth downs, and there's a play on the goal line where he starts to scramble and then kind of flips the ball. So he's got an ad-lib quality to him that's kind of exciting. It's probably a two-edged sword. Sometimes you can do it too much, but I think that this, you know, what he does like that, I think probably the thing that impresses me the most is just he knows exactly what took place. You watch the film where he comes over, even on the sideline, you could hear him talking to his coaches and just say, hey, here's what happened. You know, I screwed this up and I saw this guy do this. You know, he has an awareness and I've mentioned a couple of times processing information, but some guys don't, you know, some guys, you know, it happens slow. This game, he gets it and sees what happened, knows what happened, and figures out what happened quickly. So that I think that's going to serve him well at the next level.
How strong is that arm?
It's plenty strong. I'd say it's I'd say it's strong. I don't think it's a cannon, but it's certainly well better than average. You see him make some good downfield throws. I mean, you're not going to have any. You could watch his tape, and you're not going to have any question that he can make all the throws. He can throw it over the top of the defense. He can drive the ball when he needs to. He can throw it off the run when he needs to. And that's kind of what I always just wanted to check all the boxes. What can he do? What can he do? And this guy checks all the boxes. Does he check them every single time? Maybe not. Whose fault? I don't know whose fault. Probably half of it's my fault. But, you know, there's enough evidence there of him, you know, that it's pretty obvious that this guy, and there's enough teams that, you know, I think probably just the ones that get published, probably the louder ones are the ones that want to say something negative about the guy. But there's an awful lot of people who have come through here who love him and are trying to move up in the draft to get him. So I think that, you know, you could lose sight of it because the headlines tend to be the negative ones. And, you know, no one's going to come out and say, hey, this is our number one guy. We got to have this guy. And, you know, just because that's not how the draft works, you tend to put out even more misinformation, if anything. And so I do think that to think that there's a bad feel on this kid would be inaccurate. You know, that the masses, if you will, love this kid. And the ones who have come through here, I think really like him.
What is it when you talk to teams, what is it they say that they would like the most? Is there anything in particular?
Yeah, I think the kid, you know, I think, you know, I've made a statement a couple times that, you know, gosh, people were questioning this and questioning that. And I said, yeah, you know, just wait till the combine and when they really start meeting them. And he's one of those guys who, once you meet him, his stock starts going up with you. You know, you just go, God, this is a humble, nice kid. This is a sharp kid. Then you put him on the board and you go, wow, this guy gets it. This football comes natural to them. And so I think that the thing that people have said is, gosh, the more you get to know them, the more you like them, you know, probably opposite of my lifetime. The more you get to know me, the less you like me. But but he would be one that, you know, the more you get to know him, the more you like him. So I think the teams that have taken the most time getting to know him probably are the teams that like him the most.
Have you talked to some teams more than others?
Yeah, sure.
How about Washington?
Now I think they've probably done their homework with other people. But just haven't been in the league quite a bit. I've talked to quite a few folks, and some early, some during, you know, some early in the season, some folks came through, and some teams I think probably don't think they probably have a shot at them, and maybe don't hear as much from them, but heard from quite a few folks.
How about Washington? Have you heard a few times from them?
Oh, I wouldn't want to mention any names and get myself in trouble. But
I didn't think so. And I'm going to take a wild guess. They have invested some time in Drake. I know that. So
I would say this, and I think the world of their new GM and their new head coach. And I don't know much about their owner, but I've always liked their general manager. He's going to do a good job there, and I love their head coach and the enthusiasm he brings. And I've watched both of their work for a lot of years, and both of them come from systems and places where they know how to do the thing the right way, and so I do think it'll be an attractive place to him. I'll say that, like that to me would excites me. There's some buildings you hope he, you know, you're kind of hoping he doesn't go to, you know, I love what they've started there. I don't know it in detail, obviously, but just their personalities and I enjoy both those guys from their previous places.
Just a couple more then for,
yeah.
When you look at year one to year two as a starter, obviously anybody can look at the stats. We can see the stats. And you brought up the change of coordinators. You go from Phil Longo to Chip and your different offense. How different was the offense to learn, and what was the impact of that change?
I think it was completely different. Not better or worse, but just different. Just different terminology, but you do start with new people. I think the other thing that's happening in college that everyone has to realize is you start new every year. You know, this is almost like if all Washington's franchise was free agents this year, that's what the portal is like, right. You know, this year we'll have four different linemen. We'll have new, you know, so you pick up Tez, who, you know, for a 1 year, kind of a 1 year deal using NFL terminology, you know, so you do get new, you get new faces, you got a new offense, you got new, you know, you got a new everything. And I think that'll be one of those where, you know, that it's going to take a toll on quarterback in a little bit, I think. Just, and quarterbacks change places, and all of a sudden you change systems, you change places. And one of the stories I loved about him when I got here, I played here at North Carolina, so I love, it's my university, I love it. And you know, one thing I thought was a neat thing was just when I first got here, and several of the big spenders came after Drake, and he didn't even flinch. You know, he just said, no, this is my school. I'm not, you know, and I think he turned down a bunch of money just to stay here. That shows you a little something about the kid, you know, that shows you a little something about the character of the guy. And you're putting a lot of money into him. You're starting to, you know, you're trying to build this thing around your quarterback, and you really do have to start with character. The quickest way for it not to work is for you to get the wrong character, the wrong person at the helm of your franchise. And because it's a big position, and, you know, I've been really blessed and fortunate that, you know, gosh, to have guys who you want to build it around, and that people are going to rally around, and he's going to rally people and stuff. So I think that is the first domino of this thing, you know, before talent, before all those things, that the makeup's really, really, really important. And so I do think that you have limited hours, you switch offenses in college, and you have a little bit limited, and now you got new players and all those things. And I've heard people say that he didn't play as well, you know, the second year is the first year. I don't know. He played awful well both years and took the teams to a bowl. And, you know, we faded at the end of the season, and they faded the year before at the end of the season. And who knows why on that. The staff will try and figure that out. But I certainly don't think that anyone would attribute that to Drake.
So the last thing then, when you look at them go from college to NFL, what is there one thing you say, okay, you love all those attributes. He's got all these and all that. But the one thing that he'd have to say, okay, but Drake, you've got to get better here if you want to last in this league.
I'd say two things. One, and I've alluded to both of them. One is he's got to tighten up his footwork and just the structure, maybe shorten his stroke and just some of the fundamentals things that that I think being in a good system will do for him and doing it full time like he's going to be doing it now. I think that's one. And then also just learning to protect himself. I think a lot of these new guys, a lot of this new quarterbacking group, they play reckless, you know, which the fans admire. But, you know, again, you need them for all 17 games. You don't have a chance without them, and they got to stay healthy. And you got to take the system has to protect them. The coaches got to protect them. Play callers got to protect them. The Lions got to protect them. The route running has to protect them. And then they have to protect themselves. And, I think he's going to have to learn that. It's a hard teach. It's a hard teach. I think I failed twice. I think I failed trying to teach that to Andrew. And I think I failed with Jameis, you know, that those guys played reckless. They threw their bodies around and it's an extremely hard thing to teach, you know, and so this guy will have to learn that, but he'll tighten up the footwork. He'll shorten his stroke. He's going to be fine. Those things, style of play and how do you mix it? When do you take your risks? Knowing when to take a risk, when not to. That's a hard learn. I thought it'd be easier than it is, but it's a hard learn.
It is, because that's a mindset thing too. On the stroke, because he's got the little bit longer delivery, is that an easy thing to tighten up for a young
kid? Yeah, I think it will be. I think it'll be an easy thing for him to tighten up. Andrew did tighten. I think Andrew shortened his stroke considerably and ended up becoming one of the really accurate guys that I've been around. And I think he worked hard on his technique. And Drake will do the same thing. He will work extremely hard. He knows he has to shorten that thing down a little bit. It was something that kind of last year, it was kind of one of those things that, like, this will be a good time for him to do it whenever someone takes him. You know, it's your senior year or it's your last year. And then then you don't want to mess him up before the combine, and you don't want to mess him up before his pro day. And you just kind of push it down the road a little bit, but it'll have to be addressed, and he will address it. And I think it'll help.
Pride, I appreciate this. Thank you very much. Great insight.
Yeah. Good to visit with you. I always enjoy it.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Clyde for joining me. And thank you as always for tuning in. I'll be back on Wednesday morning with another episode. I believe that's going to be Matt Bowen. Talk to you next time.